You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it's time for another go-round of The Sporting Life with Channel 2's Mark Ibanez, who is joining us right now. Good morning to you.
Hey, it is a good morning. I'm feeling a lot better. I was down for the count after my second shot for about 36 hours or so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as they have said, it doesn't last long. And feeling good, ready to talk sports. It is one of those, I call them, everybody and their dog is playing today. we got the Giants, the A's, the Sharks, the Warriors, and to top it all off, the Masters Golf Tournament is underway.
Sports fans delight. The sports bars will fill to whatever capacity they're allowed to have. Right. Let's focus in first on the Giants home opener. They're off to a decent start, right?
Yeah. They always say you play 500 ball on the road and then clean up at home. You're doing well. They had six games, between Seattle and San Diego. And they split them. They're 3-3. And, coming back home, it's an afternoon game. Giants always open on an afternoon. And they're going to let about 9,000 fans in. So it won't be that usual great, I call them like real San Francisco events. Opening day is one of them, at the ballpark. But still, it's better than last year, I'll say that.
So, it sounds delightful to me. Nothing better than enjoying a game when it's not packed, You don't have to wait.
Right.
You don't have to wait in line for everything. You can park easy. What does it require in terms of the pandemic to get into the ballpark right now? Do you have to have a test result, a vaccination card? What's the deal?
I believe, and I could be off on this, but, I think you have to have proof of the fact that you've had your vaccination shots, mm-hmm. both of them, that card that they give you, and then I could be wrong about this, but I have heard some places are doing those rapid tests, right as you come in, mm-hmm. and you get the result. But I'm not quite ready for it myself. I couldn't believe. Did you hear the Texas Rangers? They had like 40,000 people, mm-hmm. at their home opener the other day. I was like, wow, Texas, they like to do it up big. And that's what they're doing. So, I'm not ready for it, but, I love doing the highlights now. You don't realize how much you missed. Having those shots of the fans doing different stuff out there, it's been pretty cool, but definitely different. I mean, think about where we were last year, where you didn't even know if you're going to have a season. There was no baseball at this point.
Right,
we were making stuff up to do a sports cast, Barry.
Yeah, I remember, and we ended up with a whole season with a big asterisk on it, the shortened season, and of course, the Dodgers ended up winning, but it doesn't really count. So let's move on to other topics.
Hey, I like that though, Barry. Yeah. From a giant fan's perspective, Dodgers won the World Series, but it doesn't
count.
Really count.
Doesn't really count. Pandemic. Now over on the other side of the bay, the Oakland A's mysteriously struggling. What's wrong with the A's right now?
God, it's really, it's getting weird. I don't want to say their fingers on the panic button, but, man, it's got to be twitching a little bit. I mean, they have one win, seven losses, and in those seven losses, Barry, they really haven't even been in the game, per se. I mean, they're getting hammered. I mean, the Houston Astros beat them last night 6-2. They have played the A's five times so far this season and beaten them every time. Mm-hmm. And the margin is about like six or seven runs. So it's not good. They've had a couple of injuries. They lost a couple of players over the winter, real solid players. And, man, they are really struggling. And what's weird is the fact that, you know, everybody figured the A's were going to be okay. They're going to probably, you know, contend again like they always seem to, for the playoffs at least, or the division title. And then everybody thought the Giants might really be not too good, to put it kindly. And, you know, early, small sample, as they say, but, yeah, you know, early on, it's been the exact opposite of that. It's been weird to watch the A's. I mean, their games haven't even been competitive. It's weird.
And, you know, you can over tell the story in the first week or two of the season when a team starts off slow. But the truth is, in baseball, you can dig yourself a hole you can't get out of if you get, you know, 20 games back in the first month.
Yeah, I like one of my favorite lines that Yogi Berra once said was, "It's getting late early." And you're absolutely right. In, you know, baseball, it's kind of a two-edged sword. I mean, on one hand, you got 162 games in a normal season to kind of hope things sort out and you have a chance. But like you say, I mean, you get into a hole so quickly that those 162 games, that doesn't seem like a good thing. That seems like a mountain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're all human. The players are too. And they start mentally thinking, oh, my God, we are terrible. And we got 150 games left, you know. I mean, so, you know, they got to turn it around real quick here. And, you know, what's the oldest cliche in the world, Barry? Play them one game at a time,
right.
But that's the thing, is you can't try and win 10 games in one game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, sure, you want to dig out of it, but it takes a while.
Yeah.
And you just got to be patient. But the mental aspect, their mental toughness is going to come into play now.
For sure. For sure. So another development in terms of the reopening phase of life, the Warriors are going to start welcoming fans back in about 2 weeks, I read.
Yeah, and that's great, because you can really kind of feel for the Warriors organization. They were so proud of the new arena, Chase Arena. And everything was going great. They got this beautiful billion-dollar facility. The pandemic hits. They weren't able to really show it off. And then, you know, this year it'll be most of the season will have already passed by the time any fans get in there. And, you know, they're lightening things up a little bit. So that'll be nice. Maybe a little momentum for the Warriors with the encouragement of their fans in the building. And then, of course, yesterday, they've got a guy in their organization who is really a Hall of Fame executive. Rick Welts announced he was retiring. And I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, but, I mean, he was the driving force behind helping to secure the land and getting that project done and making it a world-class facility. He's retiring, and, you know, for the Warriors, they always say strength in numbers, right? Well, they're getting weaker and they're getting fewer by losing that guy, because he's an absolute dynamo. And what's gone right for the Warriors lately? Like, not a whole lot, So.
And things haven't been going right for Tiger Woods either, with that big, you know, crash that he suffered recently. And I've been following really closely the L.A. County Sheriffs and what they've been saying. And we learned that he was traveling like 85 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone.
45, yeah.
Which, you know, I don't always stick exactly to the speed limit, but I don't think I'm that bad. And there's a lot of questions still remaining about what exactly happened there. Have you picked up any vibes on something more to the story?
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of weird when, you know, the sheriff's department said that, you know, that they weren't going to release a lot of the information because that's a privacy thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when have you heard that, you know?
Right.
That kind of sounds great. One thing I'm pretty sure of is Tiger Woods is not that great of a driver. You know, I mean, I think this is his third pretty major thing, didn't he? The whole thing that started his unraveling process was, didn't he run into a pole or something? And his wife came out and pounded the hood with a golf club or something like that. I mean, it was, you know, so he, you know, hopefully, guy, you just, I mean, it's not like he's a kid. It's not like this is a 19-year-old that did this. This is, you know, a grown man who's had some bad moments, and you would think that he'd learn by it. But I kind of feel like there's more to the story there, too.
Yeah, you know, and they didn't run any toxicology or, you know, didn't take blood samples to check whether he was impaired or not. There was no evidence of any impairment. He, at one point, I think after the crash, the most recent thing I read, when they're trying to talk to him, the first responders, he thought he was in Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow. Yeah. I didn't hear about that.
Just read that like yesterday afternoon. So the whole lot of like, what exactly was going on? Did he have some kind of a medical issue that, you know, maybe caused him to tramp on the accelerator and just shoot off that embankment rather than just being like reckless? They say he was not on his phone. They can tell that by looking at the records, right?
So right,
it's,
right.
There's a lot more to this, it feels like to me, that we don't really know yet and maybe never
yeah,
will.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that you come out of it is, I mean, we've think of all the people that we've lost, you know, just regular people with car accidents, but all the celebrities or big-time athletes that have died in car wrecks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one thing that I read, I mean, he hit a tree. And he did what they called a pirouette. And you think about how fortunate he is to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this could have been worse. And I go back, Barry, to just how incredible. I mean, this was a CNN anchor when the accident happened. I remember this was like almost a couple months ago when the wreck happened. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of his first questions was to Tiger's agent, do you think he'll be ready to play in the Masters?
Yeah.
It's like, that's yeah. Probably not on the docket, you know? I mean, but I'm glad he's okay. But, man, you know, we're going to get this. You know what we all have to do? We have to wait for Oprah to get the one-on-one exclusive.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, and then we'll get the doctored up version of what they decide is going to be the public story. But you know that big one-on-one, the first interview with Tiger Woods.
Yep, it's coming.
It works.
And of course, it's hard to watch another Masters golf tournament start with him not being there, even when he's not really in contention or, you know, rehabbing his latest surgery. Just his presence is important in the game of golf. Masters is round two underway now, and you know, the what I think of as the big names still being an older guy, you know, like Tiger and Phil Mickelson and people like that, they aren't in contention. We have this new generation. What do you think about Masters round one and part of round two so far?
Well, you know, the thing is, I guess we're going to all have to get used to no Tiger. I mean, the television executives love having him because he brings in, you know, the hardcore golf fans are going to watch an event like the Masters no matter what, right? Because they know all these guys. But, you know, Tiger had his big comeback, you know, a little over a year ago there, and it was a big deal, and everybody loved it, and the television executives were getting awesome ratings. But that's done. I mean, we're going to have to get used to life without Tiger. I mean, if he ever golfs again, that'll be a great story. But to think that he can really be in contention and win major tournaments, I think that's really a long shot. And what golf really needs is somebody with some charisma. I mean, if you look at the golfers that are out there now, I mean, obviously they're at the top of their game. They're incredible at what they do. But there's nobody that really captures you. You know, Justin Rose yesterday led the Masters by 4 strokes, but I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Did you?
No.
You know?
I spectated at the Safeway Open, I guess it's 2 years ago now, And, yeah. you know, these guys are like, and I don't mean this as an insult, but physique-wise, the way they appear, they're like cookie cutter, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. yeah. They're training in similar ways. Their bodies look the same. They're incredibly limber and strong and slender and whatnot. And you don't have that sort of natural selection of, you know, or natural array of humans out there anymore. You certainly know John Daly's on the tour anymore.
Yeah, remember that? You had, the walrus.
The walrus, yeah.
right. I am the walrus, Craig Stadler, you know, and you had guys with, like, regular people, like, big bellies and tall, lanky guys. I mean, you hit it right on the head. It is cookie cutters and, maybe the golf all around is better, but I think it's to the detriment of the regular fan, who wants to. That's why Tiger, you know, he didn't look like anybody else. He had some flair. He'd wear the red shirt on Sundays, you know, his victory shirt, and he'd do the fist pump. And, you know, I think back to guys like Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer. They kind of captured your imagination because, you know, they kind of looked like that. That could be me. That could be you, you know. And now these guys look like, streamlined corporate guys who just got off their corporate jet, you know, and arrived in town. And I think it turns off a lot of people, you know.
I do, too. I really do, too. Yeah. And you mentioned Lee Trevino, and there was that whole generation of a lot of those players came up from nothing by caddying and learning to play, you know, on municipal golf courses around the country. And, they're making money on side bets and propositions, you know, and I can beat you putting with a Coke bottle on a stick, that kind of stuff, you know.
right.
Where's all that gone? That's all disappeared.
Yeah. You get the feeling that every guy out there on the course today is like a country club silver spoon kid who had the best training and probably at a very early age was sent out, you know, to some kind of seminar to get the best of the best.
Yeah.
And it's really lost to me anyway. It's lost a lot of its luster. Yeah. Maybe that's just me being sour grapes because I'm such a terrible golfer.
That's it. You're just envious. But what? All that having been said, when Sunday rolls around, it's the final round, I'll be watching anyway.
Yep, me too.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
No doubt about it. I'll be couch potatoing
it
on Sunday.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you got over your second shot side effects, and we'll watch for you on Channel 2. Mark Ibanez with The Sporting Life. Thanks for chatting, and have a great weekend.
All right. Remember, it's an everybody and their dog plan day to day, so we'll have it all tonight on Channel 2.
Excellent. We'll look for you. Take care.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.